Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sander.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live. Having a lot of fun this morning, Pete.
Yeah, we are. And I'm Pete and Rick, and also Wayne is here. We have three of the four co-hosts here of Let's Talk Hookup to start the year. We're missing Corey.
Yeah.
But great to have Wayne. It's been a while since Wayne's been in here. And we have a great guest, Matt Shanley from Department of Fish and Wildlife. And he is the head of the CalTIP program. We're talking about CalTIP, which is California's Turn-In Poachers and Polluters. And it's super fun. A lot of great questions from texters, and keep them coming. Keep those texts coming.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun phone calls the first hour, and now now it's all about your text. If you want to send in a text to the show, that's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, which, again, is a free download. It's easy to find. It's easy to listen to the show. Honestly, the Let's Talk Hookup app is the best way to consume Let's Talk Hookup. It's always a direct source, and if you don't catch the show, if you had a hot tip from the guys from CalTIP from Matt, you can re-listen to any show, or if you missed last week's fun, you can listen on demand with the show archives, and it's the only way to text in your questions. Also, when you text your question, make sure you include your contact info. Just a name and a phone number is all we need, just in case you win that killer prize at the end of the show today. We mentioned it in the first hour. One lucky caller or texter today is going to win a full-day trip on board the Mission Bell out of Point Loma Sport Fishing. Just an awesome prize, and a big thanks to our friend Captain Cameron and all everybody at Point Loma Sport Fishing for making that happen. A full-day trip going fishing on that beautiful Mission Bell to one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show.
All right, fantastic. And time to find out what's biting out
there. It is, man. Our fishdope.com reporter, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is standing by today. That one's sponsored by Gamakatsu. Hey, they've got a lineup of fishing accessories that is just awesome. Now available including fillet knives, everyday carry knives, those great G-boxes and bags to store your tackle, as well as the ceramic braid scissors and more, along with the very best in fresh and saltwater hooks available. You can see your local dealer or check gamakatsu.com for more information. We got him! Captain Mark Wish is standing by. Good morning, Mark!
Morning, Ricky, Pete, Wayne, Matt. What a fun show today, you guys. I mean, something different, learning all this new stuff. And Matt, I got to tell you, see, I have a little tackle store in Huntington Beach, the world-famous Pacific Edge, and we sell a lot of fishing licenses. But I have never had a guy come in and ask for a lizard license. But I said I do now.
That's awesome.
That was crazy hearing about that. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. And it's going to be interesting. It looks like 2026 is sure off to a soggy start here. A lot of rain, quite a bit of wind. But, you know, the temperatures have been balmy. It's feeling tropical. Yeah. You know, it's been kind of neat. Yeah, it's just been awesome. And that's really been good for our water temperatures offshore. I just checked the buoys a little bit ago. The buoy off Pedro is the coolest one. It's 62. Everything else is 63 and 64. You know, the buoy below Cometti is 64. I imagine a guy could go out there and fight a kelp and probably catch a yellowtail somewhere.
Yeah, I'll bet you could go out and post up on Cortez Bank and catch a bluefin.
I about guarantee it.
Yeah, probably a little choppy right at the moment.
Yeah.
out.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, it's really, you know, that's warm for this time of year. Yes. But and I imagine that's got a lot to do with all that bonita being around here. You know, they like that warmer water, still got quite a bit of bait in it, and you know the bonita thing stretches mostly from like Dana Point down to the border, and you guys have the volume of it for sure. But there's another hot spot for those bonita up here. It's been Catalina, healthy population on the front side there, front side from like Long Point down to the slide. There's, you know, they've been there all year, but God, there's a bunch of them and nice sized ones. And the guys are finding them by trolling little small feathers or plugs, and then you get a jig strike, and then you cast little small shiny lures, little cold snipers, and crocodiles and stuff like that. And man, it's fun fishing. And up to a few weeks ago, there was a little bit of yellowtail mixed in there with them. But last few weeks, couple weeks, I haven't heard about those yellows. Where you will find some of that yellow around the back on the bait grounds there, out there in the deeper water, and a couple of standout zones at this time of year. The structure outside Orange Rocks and the V's on the backside east, and then outside West Cove up to the west there, that deeper structure out around the West End High spot like that. That's always prime big yellowtail territory here at this time of year. Fish your heavy gear, and same sectors, you're going to find a sea bass or two. There was some fishing here, sea bass fishing, before the weather. It's been like a couple weeks now, really. But there was some fishing around in both ends of the island. And along with the deeper water fish, you're going to find some of that sea bass up on the beaches also. Just, again, because, you know, the waters are a little warmer than normal for this time of year. Now, right now, it looks like a chocolate milkshake over there because of all this runoff. And we got a couple more days or seven more days of rain coming, so it's going to take a bit to straighten out. But then they're saying like 10 days, 10 to 12 days of nice weather after this next couple storms. So time to get your gear ready and start thinking in terms of sea bass. And what you want to make sure of, guys, since we're past the first, you're not going to be thinking about any red snappers for dinner. You know, codfish is closed till April 1st, so be careful with that deeper water fishing. That codfish is it's out of reach here for a little bit. So that's this week's report, and I'm going to make a little prediction next week about our island sea bass fishing based on some incoming information. Saving it for right now. We'll see what happens here. But that's this week's report, guys. Have a happy New Year.
I like it, Mark. Well, it certainly sounds good. Lots of fishing to be had, and I like the call of a good stretch of weather in front of us. I can handle that.
That's because I'll be out of town for a week of it too. So
I figure out why we were getting such good weather for so long, and that's right. You're going to be in another country.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
As it goes.
Well, at fishdope.com, of course, is the source year-round, 365 days a year. Fishdope.com. Danny and the boys always have the information. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code hookup now. Lowercase, no space. $30 off with hookup now as your code. Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is 714-840-4262. The website with pictures of all the really cool stuff that we make is PacificEdgeTackle.com. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Indeed.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Happy New Year, Mark.
Happy New Year, Mark.
That's great stuff. You know, we're talking about how warm the temperatures and such like that, and I think a lot of people know I have a place in Montana and like to go spend time. Montana has been experiencing like the warmest weather ever. Their December average temperature in southwestern Montana this year was 30 degrees above normal.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah,
really?
30 degrees. That's a lot. And it's not good because they have no snow, very little snow, or no snow.
If they're going to rely on places.
And Southwest is Yellowstone territory.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, wow. And that's tough. You know, that they need the water, they need the rain. So let's hope that things change here for them.
Will these systems that just pass through us, are they going to make it out that
way? A lot of them are kind of coming south. You know, it's like that Pineapple Express thing. Huh. But we'll keep our fingers crossed. Nothing in an immediate future for some of the parts of that. But hopefully, you know, of course. The worst of it always comes in February, March, April kind of thing. So,
and that's also one of those
they get it.
Yeah, right. It's one of those things that can stack up real fast too.
Right.
Really.
Right.
I didn't check, but I know they were claiming some pretty insane snow dumps in Tahoe and Mammoth.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This last one. You know, if those areas
dumped hammered.
Big time. Yeah. Absolutely hammered.
That's all I'm saying. You never know. The right couple of storms can come and just pack everything up nice and quick too.
So but it shows you how things change. But even their storms, right, were pretty warm, right? I mean, there was a lot of, fortunately at the higher elevations they got, but down lower elevations it was pretty warm there too. Uh-huh. So yeah, the warm is good for us, but not so good in other places.
The warm plus the water, because it's filling up all of our reservoirs right now. I check those all the time, watching our levels, because that's how we manage our drought, right?
Yeah.
It's through those water levels. And they're all filling up. All the big lakes or our reservoirs are filling up right now. And if you go, like I just drove up and back from Sacramento up the Central Valley there, and it's green. I mean, completely green. You don't ever see that. It's always brown.
Yeah.
It is amazing how much water is dumped into the Central Valley, and that's good for the crops.
Did you guys get some rain out in Blythe?
We did, and I was up in San Francisco for Christmas and drove down through the Central Valley, and it was green. It was awesome.
Amazingly green.
I was looking for waterfowl, and I didn't see as many waterfowl flying through the Central Valley as I wanted to.
Because it's too warm.
Right? But I hear they're up there.
Oh, yeah. They're hiding. There's cover.
Yeah.
Well, I had a fun text come through, and it says, good morning to Matt. I'm a huge abalone fan, and I'm so happy about CalTIP. I know that they have stopped several abalone poachers in our area, and I really appreciate everything you guys do to protect that resource. My question is, do you personally feel we might ever see an open abalone season again in Southern California? Thanks again for all your hard work.
I'm optimistic. Of course we will. you know, I'm a big fan. I think all the work of all this conservation work everyone is doing, you know, it's easy to be optimistic. And the department and you know, private biologists with their own affiliations, you know, everyone's working to make that happen again. And it may be, you know, will it be in the next 10 years? Maybe not. Will it be in, you know, 20 years or a couple generations down the road, possibly?
Yeah, we just went through it at the Fish and Game Commission where the red abalone, which was the last one to shut down, we keep trying to open up a de minimis fishing area up in Northern California because on our side, on the recreational side, we believe that there's enough rebuild on that they can do a small harvest up there. Unfortunately, they didn't agree with us, and they kicked the can down the road for another 10 years of closure for the red abalone throughout the state. But, you know, anything can change over time, and we can always revisit it as we see growth.
Yeah, so like you say, going to have to wait 10 years, but...
Well, or we can try to petition to have it reopened over time. We just got to find the right data to prove that it's been rebuilt.
That reminds me of one of the funnest adventures I've had as a game warden when I got flown out to an island of an undisclosed name by the Coast Guard, and we were actually watching urchin divers, you know, dive and take abalone illegally, and so that was one of the cool adventures I've had on the job.
Oh, interesting. Now, does the department issue you stabilized gyro binoculars do these watches?
For Marine Patrols,
yeah.
Yeah, they have stabilized binoculars.
Yeah,
Since I usually borrow them when I hit the Marine regions, but for inland, we don't need them.
Yeah, because you can have powerful enough scopes or whatever. Like, what's your power scope? Like, what's your typical power scope?
Oh, I don't know what it is, 9x40 or...
So you're using...
Yeah. And then we have the spotting scope as well. Yeah, that can zoom in really well.
Yeah.
You know, Vortex or Swarovskis or whatever.
Okay. So you're seeing people, and they have no idea that you're watching them.
Oh, yeah. Well, people could be 50 feet away and not have no idea.
Yeah.
So, it's always like if you're working at Inland Lake, you know, if I'm contacting someone, I'm looking at everyone else down the shoreline.
Yeah. And you develop your skills over the 27 years of being able to...
Yeah, observation skills and interview skills and all that. Yeah. It's been amazing. And that becomes the funnest part of the job.
I'm sure a lifetime career of it, somebody that's probably doing the wrong thing probably stands out like a sore thumb. You know what I mean? Like just in talking to somebody, like mannerisms and everything else, like you've seen all of it enough to, I'm sure that when
the
BS real fast, I'm sure.
Yeah, the unnatural. That's what's fun about having time on now with the trainee and then seeing someone who's doing something completely wrong, try to talk his way out of it, you know, talking to your trainee and then just reading through it all and then say, hey, let me handle this one. You know, let's cut to the chase here.
Yeah.
Funny. Have you ever, I mean, you're dealing with people with firearms when you're hunting, right? And I know you're packing today. I mean, obviously, when you're in the field, you're carrying your firearm and stuff like that. Have you ever had a situation where you felt threatened by somebody with a gun in their hand?
Oh, yeah, there's been several of the years, and so the train locks in. I was in the Marine Corps as well.
Okay.
And spent a little time here at MCRD and then Camp Pendleton. But when I hadn't seen a serious conflict until a few years on the job when I was actually off duty and someone tried to carjack me in San Bernardino.
What?
So that was a pretty good incident.
Why?
Yeah. So they try to commit an armed robbery with an off-duty officer on the north side of the 10. And I had just come from a soccer game from Loma Linda on the south side of the 10. So I was at a Baker's drive-thru. And then, I saw a commotion going on behind me, came up alongside my driver's side door, put a gun to my head and says, get out of your vehicle. So then a highway patrol officer, the same highway patrol officer who pulled me over for going 83 on a 65 on the way to my soccer game, is now parked perpendicular behind me in the drive-thru. And the carjacker takes his attention off me, points the gun at the highway patrol officer, and then the carjacker opened my door. And then when he pointed the gun at the highway patrol officer behind me, I was able to, tackle him, have some fun. And then the highway patrol officer came around
crazy.
And helped me out. Oh, yeah. It was good.
What a wild story.
Did he give you a citation?
No, he gave me a break.
So whose car was it? Was it the highway patrol because he was on duty? Was it his to take in? Was that person under you to turn in, or was it the highway patrol?
Oh, well, unfortunately, he didn't make it, and so it was a big scene.
What a trip!
Yeah, the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department took over that investigation. Yeah,
interesting.
Wow.
You had three different people
sure.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean,
fishing game is the one who really made it happen, though.
That's right.
Let's be clear who the real hero is.
That's it. Hey, speaking of binoculars, I want to remind you that instant rebate on the Fujinon TSX 1440s at Baker Marine is good through the 11th of January. So if you want to get that $175 off one of the best values gyro binoculars in the world, for sure, the Baker Marine TSX or Fujinon TSX 1440, you've got this week to do it.
No doubt about that, and that's some of the best stabilized binoculars you can get for the money for the marine environment. However, when you were asking about that, I was thinking about the pair that you just got.
Yes.
Baker's own stabilized glass.
Which are fantastic.
That's where I was thinking.
And they're like $700 or $800.
Yeah. And can just so easily and small and compact fitness.
I travel with them all the time.
That is going to change the game in field binoculars.
No question.
Stabilizing gets so much better that, you can now reach distances that you just couldn't before. You can't handle a 40 power, with your hands, or 14 power rather with your hands. It's just too shaky. And now you put that stabilizing in there and it's perfect.
And it's super lightweight.
Yeah. I love those things. I don't own a pair yet, but I got to play with Pete's and they are fantastic. Yeah. And I do have a pair of true gyro glasses. And the level of stabilization that you get for a fraction of the cost was really impressive.
Yeah, it is an impressive. And they're out of them. They sold out of them. Supposed to get them back this January.
Okay.
So check with Baker Marine. Okay. And I know several of our listeners who were trying to go get them. But they'll have them real soon.
They're going to replace my hunting binoculars without
them. No question.
Yeah. I'll have to check them out.
Well, I should have brought them down for you to check out because they're something that you guys in the field would just love. Since you're not on a moving platform, they're not great. They're usable on the water, but they're not great on the water like the TSX 1440s would be.
But I mean, it really is. It's almost like
on the land.
It's almost like putting your spotting scope up to your eyes.
Yeah.
Level of distance that you
get. It's a 14 power
by just
in your hands,
super quick.
Yeah, you can imagine
having your chest harness pop up to your eyes, and all of a sudden you can legitimately see out a couple miles with just handheld. And then put them right back down and get right back there. They're really slick. I really want to get a pair.
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of hunters just.
That's gonna change the game.
I have a great text here from our good buddy Reggie in Camarillo. He says, "Good morning, guys. Happy New Year. One of the biggest regrets I have as a lifelong angler is not purchasing a lifetime fishing license when I was younger. At an age when it stopped considering purchasing a lifetime license, at what age should I one stop considering purchasing a lifetime license and just buy a typical annual one?" Well, that's up to you, Reggie. How long? There's really no answer to that, but I wanted to bring that up because that lifetime license for somebody who's young, I mean, somebody who's turned 16 and needs a license or somebody that is in their 20s or 30s is kind of a no-brainer at one point, right?
Yeah, and it all depends on everyone's personal financial situation.
Sure.
If you can afford it, great, go get it. If you can't, then, by another seasonal license. And when you can, when you win the lottery or, you know.
How much is that? That lifetime. Is it 700?
It varies according to age.
Right.
That's why it has to be a personal decision based on your, personal
situation. The younger you are, the more expensive it is.
The biggest key, because I looked into it, because I want to get one for both my boys. Yeah. Like, that's our plan. And when it's the least expensive is before license purchasing age. You know, so you don't, like, and I want to say it was like 10 or 11 or something like that. I feel like I'm going off of info that I looked up a long time ago. So Wayne, you might know much better than I, but I remember that if you purchased a license for somebody that was pre-license purchasing age, which for us is, 16, it was so much lesser expensive. And yeah, I want to say that it was like $600 or $700. But the recipient had to be, 10 or 11 or in that younger state. So anyways, I thought it was really cool. And, you can purchase them online. We can't sell one to you at Fisherman's Landing. Like, that's not something that an agent can do. You got to buy it directly from Department of Fish and Wildlife, or at least our license system at our tackle store.
You can do everything online now with the new app. But
and checking it out now, from ages 0 to 9, you can buy a lifetime license for $709, and then it doesn't get that cheap again until you're 62 years old.
Right. So if you buy it before you need a license, it's cheap.
Well before, like nine years old. Like, wow. So he's not going to need a license for another,
7 years for the 9 year old. Yeah.
But then it's $700. That thing's going to cover itself, by licenses always go up a few bucks a year. Like 5, 10 years, that thing's going to be well paid for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you're expecting to be around and fish in California for 10 years, it's probably a good decision.
Yeah. That's my plan. I want to get one for both my boys. So I just need to buck up and make that happen before they're
nine. Binoculars.
Yeah. My 9 year old boy, actually, he's going to turn 10 this year, but he caught a 7 pound channel cat out on the Colorado River and we did fish and chips with it.
Hey, all right.
I was excited.
That's awesome.
Hey, something that came up earlier in the first hour was talking about the rewards program. Just to let everybody know, the rewards program is run by a citizen group known as CalTIP Rewards Committee, which I'm on. And the rewards come entirely from donations. No state funds are used. The CalTIP Rewards Committee, not the CDFW, receives and administers those funds. Money not used for the payment of rewards goes towards furthering the CalTIP's educational program. So just so everybody knows that isn't state funds. That's not, your tax money going. It's other donations being used. Pay those rewards.
And on top of that, I really encourage everyone with a cell phone, whether it's an Android or iPhone, to access our California wildlife.ca.gov website and go to our CalTIP page, and you can download the free app for TIP 4-in-1. The links are there. So it's either for an Android or for an iPhone.
Or you can go to the Play Store. Then it's on the Play Store.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can have that at your fingertips. You can also go to our webpage and report online.
That's a separate app than the California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Correct.
App.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a link? Oh, if you go on the California Department of Fish and Wildlife app, is there a link to that?
Go to our CalTIP page and then, absolutely.
And it's on Play Store. So you can go any place that you normally download your apps and grab it. The nice part is as we change from people calling in to, the more social media friendly type people, people automatically pull out their phones, they take pictures and they take video. Those things are important to the officers and the DA because you're already documenting a case. You're helping to provide information and documentation. So as we go forward, and do not ever approach people on this stuff, right? It's all anonymous. You're just documenting and you're reporting it. So if you have the app, you take a video, you take a picture, and you just upload it and say, this is where I'm at, da da da, and boom, it's starting the case file. That's going to help everybody in the long run because now you're building that case before the warden can get there and start the process.
I think that's a good thing for people to hear too. And you touched on it earlier, Matt, was that it's ultra anonymous. Like not only is the person reporting kept anonymous, like you don't even have that person's information.
Yes, it's encrypted. So when I get the information like through the TIP 4-in-1 app, in order for me to identify that person, I have to say, hey, a wildlife officer would like to contact you. Would you like to provide your phone number in addition to just communicating anonymously through the texting?
Right. So you couldn't even call that guy who sent in a text. You got to go back through the app and say, hey, if you want to pursue this further, we'd like to continue to investigate. If you're comfortable with it,
exactly.
I'll contact you.
Yeah. And then if the case turns out to be a great case and the warden says, hey, I'd really like to, see if we can get that reporting party a reward, then I will go back through the app. Hey, we're interested in giving you a reward.
Awesome.
You know, will you please provide your information? And I've never had someone say no, because we've always kept their information anonymous. It's very important for us to protect that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, usually they become a return, you know, customer with regard to reporting crimes. Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I had a fun text come through. It says, good morning, guys. Curious how common it is for the Department of Fish and Wildlife to intermingle, let's say, fishing or be undercover on a party boat or out in the field to investigate specific illegal activity. That's from Mike and Rosemead.
So what is a frequency question?
I think, yeah, how often it happens, or does it happen, or is there funds for you guys to do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so it's over the years, you know, I've been able to participate in, you know, investigations like that, and it usually comes up with, you know, people saying, hey, you know, something is wrong here. You know, I'm on a boat, and I just, you know, things just aren't like, are they taking over limits? Are they hiding catch? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? And usually it comes together with some pretty good intel to begin with. And then, you know, officers will decide, okay, you know, now's probably a pretty good time to, you know, book a trip and see exactly what's going on. And, you know, officers rely on their own observations, you know, when it comes down to that. They get a report and then they go investigate.
Cool.
Well said.
We just had an issue with our app. It was down for a few minutes. It's back up. Just so those of you, thank you guys for reporting the issues to us. But those of you that were listening on the app, you can go ahead and listen on the app, because George fixed it.
we got a good group of watchdog
people
that got our back out there. So, yeah, thanks for all that. Yeah. Well, I wanted to throw one more out. So, good morning. This was an interesting one, I thought. This is Dave from Marina Del Rey Anglers. Said, we were fishing the Malibu area, and there was a lobster boat pulling his lobster traps. He offered to sell us a couple from the boat, but we did not have anybody on board that had a lobster card or a hoop net. Would we be in violation if we had purchased?
Good question.
Ooh, that's a gray area. So what's super interesting is that person who's selling, does he have the commercial license to sell?
Right.
You know, and so is he on, you know, is the catch legal?
Yeah, right.
And then if he has a commercial license to sell, is the transfer legal? And then if for some reason everything is legal up to a certain point, then it's a matter of, okay, if a game warden walks up to you now, you know, do you have a receipt? You know, have you videotaped the legal transaction? Because there's going to be a lot of questions involved.
That's a good question. That's a good example.
Because
I believe it's legal for them to sell lobsters, like a commercial guy that has a commercial license, legal to sell that to an individual.
Commercial sales license.
Yeah.
Like, he could be completely legal in doing what he was doing, but then it's up to you to now.
And you know, these local marine officers, they know more the intricacies of the law.
Right, of course.
And so I may be overlooking something real obvious to them and saying, no, you can't do that because there's this. So I
think that the idea of videotaping the exchange with the commercial guy is a good idea.
It's documentation.
You're documenting that you're handing the guy some money, you're purchasing him, you're not actually fishing that you didn't catch it on a rod and reel, which is illegal.
Yeah, so if you're at an inland lake, right, and you're within your legal trout limit and you want to give a fish away, you know, then the person, you know, without a fish, he may, you know, without a fishing rod, is in possession of a fish.
Yeah, right.
And so now how did you obtain that fish? You know, was it legally, caught, legally transferred? Did you pay for it? You know, it's just
a lot of gray area.
Now, okay, that brings up another. So, okay, you're on the Luna Lake, you're fishing for trout, and a guy is watching you, and it's like, wow, good job on the trout. Here, you want one? Take one home for dinner. Is that illegal?
Specific details are very, very important.
Yeah.
So if a person is legally catching fish, has not caught their over limit, can they give fish that they have legally caught away? And the answer is yes. Now, does the person who they're giving it to, do they have a means of take in their possession? Like, do they have a fishing rod? And were they fishing? And now they're in possession of a legal means to take and a fish. That's prima facie evidence that they caught that fish. So do they have a license?
They have a license.
Yeah.
Right,
so yeah. So there's all kinds of.
There's a lot of factors.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors.
Yeah.
And details are very important.
Yeah. For sure.
And I'm not trying to put you on the spot in the slightest.
No. I love
so,
it.
So
go
don't
for
worry
it.
About it. And you mentioned no, but I've always known. Obviously, you know, you can't sell sport caught fish.
Correct.
But I have always heard that like there's. You can't barter either. Like, where's the grays in those? Like, hey man, I've got a freezer full of elk. I'd like to trade you some wahoo. You know, like, how does the barter system play into fish that are taken legally?
Yeah, you just can't, like, letter of the law. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
something you get to do.
Yeah. The safest way.
Yeah. Smart. Totally.
Yeah. When I'm done with
the gifts, that's legal. If you both are gifting, separate transactions, because you can gift, right?
I'll get
shake
win.
Your head.
Good.
Now we're getting, yeah, now we're getting the gray. Leave it to Wayne.
Bartering is the key.
Download the app and turn Wayne right now.
You can gift.
Yeah. You can gift. You can't sell.
Yeah.
You can't barter. But yeah. We're allowed to gift.
So if you ever...
He's right next to get him.
Yeah.
So... Don't use the term barter in front of the
yeah, exactly.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
So I have a great text here from Mike and Rosemead. A lot of interesting texts, and thanks, guys, for bringing them through and
totally.
Appreciate that very much. Good morning. How common is it for the DFW to intermingle, let's say, go fishing as an undercover officer on a party boat out in the field and investigate a specific illegal activity?
I think you were dealing with the app.
Okay, you've already covered that.
Yeah, so when the demand is there, we try to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, but everyone should assume there's an undercover game warden on every boat you fish on.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Try to do the right thing when no one's looking.
Yeah. And that would be anywhere. They could be in anywhere in any place. And I've heard some wild stories about, like up in Alaska, amazing stories about fish and wildlife officers in Alaska booking trips to a lodge and having a great time fishing with these guys. And then at the end, like, hey, guess what? We're over limits.
And there was some.
And it's on you.
Yeah, there was some not so good activities
yeah.
that those particular people were doing. Like, oh, you know, you're really not supposed to, but don't worry about it, man. We'll slide this one in for you. And then at the end of said trip, they just said, all right, well, we got some bad news, boys. All those rules that you turned your nose up at, well, here's our badge. Like,
yeah.
Right, right. And I love watching reruns of Wild Justice.
Totally.
You know, yeah.
Totally.
Especially knowing all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, we're a small agency and we train together or do details together and we know each other throughout the state and it's a big family. You know, and so it's fun seeing your friends go out there. And,
you
know,
so you may have covered this while I was dealing with the app issue. How many of those investigative reports come from CalTIP? Like would CalTIP intermingle with that? I mean, in other words, how many of those, okay, we need to go undercover to get this job done. How many of those CalTIP came from a CalTIP report where you went undercover?
Oh, okay. So, well, it would always come like
it would always
in
come
order
from
to, in, well, not necessarily CalTIP, but developed information.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, What's cool about the CalTIP program is if, you know, a lot of people will call their warden directly. It won't be a CalTIP. You know, you would have developed a personal relationship with your local game warden and saying, hey, this is what's happening over here. And it's, you know, we had the analogy of, you know, like if you're playing Monopoly and someone's like cheating at Monopoly, you know, is it a good thing or bad thing to let other people who are playing in the same game know that, hey, this person is taking our money? You know, if you're sitting at a poker table,
right.
You know, is it a bad thing to point out someone who's working with the dealer and,
no.
you know, taking all your money at the poker table? Well, these people are taking our resources. So when you're either you're fishing or you're hunting and, you have information that tells you basically, hey, people are cheating the system and, you know, taking resources away from all of us.
Yeah. Then
it goes from that to people being concerned to pointing out that information to an officer who begins an investigation. And if that investigation leads to working themselves into a group, because we have specific, you know, we have a special operations unit that, you know, that do that in particular. So they work more serious, you know, commercial cases, sales cases, and, you know, interstate cases and stuff like that. So we have, wildlife trafficking unit, and we have restricted species units. And so we have details like any other police agency would.
Sure. All right. I dig it. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We got more catch reports. We got more great info with Matt. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
The San Diego Rodeo is happening soon at Petco Park, and your San Diego County Ford dealer can get you there as the official truck. Take a test drive at your local San Diego County Ford dealer and get two complimentary tickets to the San Diego Rodeo that's happening January 16th through the 18th. It's only while supplies last, and the tickets are going fast. Don't miss out. Be sure to visit buyfordnow.com to find your local participating Ford dealer to take your test drive today.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check powerpro.com.
Time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And Bonita, what are you going to take out there?
Tranks 400.
Tranks 400.
Tranks 400. I like it. Or, you know, I hate saying this, Saragossa, like 6,000 spinning reel, something like that. You got a new angler. We've been talking about getting people into to doing this Bonita thing that haven't done it before. Take a nice saltwater spinning reel, maybe a bait runner 4,000 or 6,000, something like that. You cast a Colt Sniper a mile, put it in a kid's hands, have them turn the handle, one's going to climb on. I'm fishing a Tranks 400. I'm putting a 4,000 or 6,000 size spinning reel into Wyatt's hands.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Perfect thing, especially this for a novice or even an experienced angler.
Totally.
Cast a Colt Sniper out there or live bait. Saragossa.
Get your dinner with the spinner.
There you go. Check it out, the Saragossa line, and all the spinning reels from Shimano. The best there are.
No doubt about it.
This is Bill Varney with the 2026 CCA Sport Fishing Calendar, and I'd like to thank our advertisers, sponsors, and customers for their support. The calendar provides much-needed funding and highlights CCA's fight to protect marine habitat and your right to fish. If you need a tight calendar to plan your fishing trips, you'll find them at most tackle shops, landings, and online at surffishtackle.com. Thank you again for joining, volunteering, and supporting CCA California.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. So much, I mean, the texts are really flowing and have really poured in the second hour. I think, you know, hearing all of Matt's stories and, you know, all this has just really, like, sparked people's interest. We had a lot of texts come through the first hour. The second hour, just wild. It's been really fun.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of good stuff. Now, there was one interesting aspect you were just talking about, growing marijuana in the field, right?
Yeah, so it was interesting for a couple of years when I was early on in like maybe 2005, 2006, I was attached to the California Department of Justice and with the campaign against marijuana planting, and we'd fly into marijuana grows into the national forest and whatnot, and it blew my mind in the San Jacinto, like down here in Southern California near Banning and Beaumont, near the San Jacinto Mountains and the San Agronio Mountains, that up to 50% of the creeks had illegal marijuana grows on them, and the cleanup,
the creeks.
Yeah, they would pull up the creeks. They would put tarps in there, create pools, and that would then they would have their marijuana grows, and they'd have their black hoses that the water would, you know, gravity feed, transfer the water through gravity to the grows, and thousands of plants at a time. And it blew my mind that over 50% had of these creeks in our national forest had either an old grow or a fresh grow or an active grow in it. And the cleanups for that, the dangerous pesticides used that are, you know, transferred across national borders and the cleanup was, when we were talking pollution, you know, now that's what I think of. I think of our creeks being polluted in the national forest because of illegal marijuana grows.
And these are happening on public land.
Public land, absolutely.
What a trip.
Yeah.
Super deep into somewhere, and they, wow, that's crazy.
And so it's great to get a Tip 401 or a Cal-Tip that is reporting GPS units of a hunter in the field that says, hey.
I'm out here trying to find a deer, and I just stumbled across this.
Yeah, with active water and a hose, and I'm backing out, but here are the GPS coordinates where I found it. And then we have investigators and wildlife officers go in there, and, you know, they do their thing. They go in there, they do a raid on the grow, they arrest the occupants who are usually armed and have usually poached animals in order to, you know, survive out there, or kill them with their pesticides in order to, you know, protect their crops.
Right.
And then, but the cleanup is massive. So I got several helicopter hauls of not only the marijuana, but the hose, the pesticides, the garbage that's accumulated over years out there. And so thank you to all those hunters out there and all those fishermen who are out in the national forest who report those things. You know, observe something, say something, and we'll figure it out.
So even though marijuana is legal in California, there's still a lot of that going on.
Oh, yeah. No, the black market for marijuana is still very alive and active. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I never even thought that that would fall into the aspects of CalTIP, but very important stuff because they're robbing our resources by polluting streams, taking streams.
Well, they're hurting the habitat, too. So when they have to remove all of that, then you have to do the restoration of the habitat. They've also polluted the water, which hurt all of our, you know, wildlife that's in that water, and then that whole ecosystem's now compromised. So there's a lot of downstream effects of this cannabis growing that people aren't realizing, and it has long-term effects in some cases.
Yeah,
there it is. Hey, I had a good text come through. It was from Paul. He said, curious how responsive wardens are to calls from California, from calls to fishing and hunting harassment. Happened to me a couple of times while out in the field. I know that there's a lot of activities that, that the wardens have to deal with. Just curious how that ranks. That's from Paul and his period.
It's up there. It's personally, I enjoy, you know, investigating those cases. It's a misdemeanor to harass someone fishing or hunting in the field. And, I like to get to the bottom of that as soon as possible. I know the wardens in the field also have a interest in it as well. And so I would say that we take those calls, especially if it's ongoing and active, like it is happening in the moment, we try to make that a priority. You know, when it comes to our mission statement, we make pollution and public safety a priority. And, you know, that's up there.
Yeah. We were talking about licensing and how important it is to remember that your license, is renewed. Tommy P. writes here, he says, I just got notice for my fishing license renewal from Fish and Game. My license did not expire until mid-January, but I renewed before the expiration date, and the new license was dated at the start of the expiration date, not the day I renewed it.
Oh, that's great.
Which is important information. And also, he says, that's all on the app. So if you have a DFG app, it's going to notify you when your fishing license is up. But you still should keep track of it and make sure you know.
I tell everybody to put a calendar appointment just like you do with your Mexican license.
Yeah.
So you don't forget.
Yeah.
But thanks, Tommy P, for that.
You cannot, at least, I mean, I don't know how the app works, but I know in a tackle store, you cannot purchase your license if you're within 45, if you're outside of 45 days of expiration.
So, oh, interesting.
So if I wanted to, say my license, I bought mine last year on March 1st. But I'm thinking about it today because back in the day I used to always buy it, you know, at the first of the year. And so it was on my mind right now. If my license doesn't expire until March, I can't go into Fisherman's Landing and purchase another one until we're within 45 days of it expiring.
That's kind of how the old calendar system worked. You couldn't buy it so many days before Christmas if you're buying for a gift or for yourself. So.
Yeah.
Well, and when I tell everybody now, because you have the online app, there is an auto renewal function. Just click it and leave your credit card there because that's what you paid for it with anyway. Yeah. And just let it automatically renew and then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Or if you own a tackle store and you love the guys coming in and buying their fishing licenses, just keep doing that and supporting your local tackle store.
Absolutely.
No doubt. Thanks, Wayne. Get him.
Yeah. A great text here from Kathleen in Ocean Beach. He says, good morning, gentlemen. What a very knowledgeable show today is. Question for Matt. Your daughter just got her first deer at 6. Wow.
Hey.
Was she how old was she?
12 years old.
12 years old. Okay. Yeah. So she actually was 12. My husband wants to take our 6-year-old out as well, but thought that he was too young. Do you think it's too young for your your daughter at 12?
Okay, so my daughter's at 12, and she's been hunting for 3 years now. So
okay.
You can't.
So she started at 9.
Yeah, and that. So first children, you know, you can get them. It's every parent, you know, parents, you know, discretion, but they can get their hunting. they have to pass their hunter education, the hunter education program. When my daughter passed it, it was all online. And so she did that, and then I took her out in the field, and I had her practice with unloaded firearms, you know, several times. And then she went waterfowl hunting. She participated in the Cibola Junior Waterfowl Hunt, and this last year she also participated in the Blythe or the Danny Robinson Junior Pheasant Hunt. And so then, you know, it was important. You can't hunt big game until you're 12. And so
hunt big game until 12.
Right.
But you can hunt waterfowl.
Yeah, you can hunt waterfowl, and as soon as you get upland game, and when
at any age,
when you get your license, when you pass your license,
and how usually do you have to be to get your license.
You can do it at any age, but usually a 9 or 10 year old is at the correct age. So a 6 year old, if the caller has a daughter or a son at 6 year old, then that's probably too young. Especially, you know, you got to find a weapon that fits, you know, or a firearm that fits them. So whether it's a small 410. Or, you know, a small rifle, and you know, that has a lot to do with it too. The hunter, the child's maturity and their size, you know, shouldn't be a factor, but it is a factor,
yeah.
You know, with regard to their own safety.
Yeah. What about coming along with dad? Is there any restrictions, anything like that, like participating in it? But
mentorship is the best way to go. Even if you're an adult, you should go with someone who has experience hunting. You know, a lot of time during COVID, a lot of the new hunters, new adult hunters would go out and think they could handle it by themselves with no mentor. And it's really important, regardless what age you are, when you're going out ocean fishing or whether you're hunting inland, it's super important to have a mentor with a lot of experience and, you know, feed off of them. You know,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great info.
And I will say this, the hunter education program that is required to get a hunting license is a really great program. Unlike the boater card of California,
it's an
actual safety thing, and you actually learn things that are important when you go out in the field.
And
so it certainly encouraged people to go take that course.
And at least most of the courses, it's hand on, being performed by an expert in their trade. Like you're getting a little slice of that mentorship to get your license to do that.
What's your feeling about taking that course online versus doing a live hunter safety course?
If you have the mentorship available to you, you know, that was fine. When my daughter took it online, she was very capable. She reads, she can write, she was able to understand the material presented to her in the hunter education manual and then, take the test, you know, and I was impressed. And then I knew that I would be walking her through all the firearm safety because every game warden is a hunter education instructor.
And so
when I started in Banning, I would have my garage full of, you know, 20 to 30 kids from the neighborhood, and they would all take their hunter education class. And
wow.
So, and then when I take them on junior waterfowl hunts, you know, so the weekend after general waterfowl season is owners of duck clubs on the north end of the Salton Sea. I'm thinking of Dick Launders in particular was one of them. He made his property available for junior waterfowl hunts. And so the kids I would teach in the class, I would take them out to the junior waterfowl hunts with their fathers. And, you know, they'd go amazingly, get like limits of Drake Mallards.
Wow. You had good teachers.
Yeah.
For sure.
I thought this was a fun one. This is a great show. My question for Matt, love all this information. Could you go over the rules on snagging fish? I've watched people snag fish both intentionally and completely unintentionally. Would like to know the rules. That's from DJ in San Diego.
So by letter of the law, a fish has to voluntarily take the hook in its mouth. And so if they do not, if the hook is not in its mouth, then, you know, it catches their, you know, gets them in the gills or gets them in the tail, then it's considered a foul hook. And so if it's a foul hook, when you bring it to the boat or, you know, basically you're required to release it because the fish didn't take it voluntarily in its mouth. So that's basically the definition. That's snagging. And then, you know, of course we're not getting into, the huge treble hooks up on the American River that are used to intentionally snag salmon in order to illegally take those fish.
Is that a cow tip offense that should be reported when you see somebody that's obviously snagging?
You know, it's that would be used discretion. If I were to see that and I know it was done intentionally, I would say, hey, just to let you know, this is the fish has to voluntarily take it in its mouth. That's a foul hooked fish. You're supposed to return it. Maybe, you know, if they seem like an amiable person, you know, if they're approachable.
Yes.
And then, of course, if you feel that they're doing it intentional, then yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, text the tip for one line, or the, you know, the online or the phone app, or you can, you know, call, the hotline.
Okay. So, here's another interesting question here. Robert from Canyon Country has, he says, take a picture of your fishing license in case you don't have Wi-Fi on the water. So in other words, your fishing license is on the app, but is that, if somebody shows you a photo of their fishing license, is that good enough?
We can follow up on it. You know, of course, okay. Having that app available to you and being online is the way to do it.
I tell everybody to refresh it. Because then it'll be on there when you go offline.
Yes.
But you want to make sure that you do it before you leave, you know.
That's the best way to do it, absolutely.
Explain that one more time, Wayne.
So what happens is on the app for the license, you can bring it up on your phone, and then it'll be there when you go offline. So that picture is there. Technically, you're not supposed to be able to show a picture of a license correct. To an officer. But now with all the technology, they can take your number off of that picture and look you up.
Got it.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I often think, okay, so let's say we're out lobster fishing and we have a lobster report card. Is that sufficient? Because you know you have a fishing license if you have a lobster report card. But you probably would still need to show your fishing license too.
Right. Yeah. You're required by law to have both.
I can answer you why it wouldn't, because we've had plenty of people, guests from out of town, whatever the scenario might be, come lobster fishing for the night. And so I can issue them a one-day license, which then they can buy their lobster card, and they can catch their lobsters, and they fly back to Montana or wherever they go. Because a one-day license is regardless whether you're a resident or not. So you, in theory, you could have bought a one-day license, got your lobster card, and then months later not have a fishing license, go back out there, show that lobster card.
That makes sense. Yeah,
so you still need to have that.
So you still need to have both when you're at lobster fishing, for sure.
Totally. All right.
I had another fun one. It says, Matt, question for you. This is a great show, and thank you so much for taking the time to inform all of us anglers. We really appreciate everything you're doing. Can you tell me, if you happen to know, how are Pismo clams doing? I've seen short clams being used as surf fishing bait. I've seen the people ignore the laws of take and limits. I was curious if you could give me your thoughts on clams and clamming.
Lieutenant Matt Gill is the lieutenant up there in San Luis Obispo, and those are when it is Pismo clam cow tipping season. You know, when they're calling, when they're reporting the people violating those laws and taking the clams up there is like off the charts. So those calls keep coming in and those wardens keep busy. And so, so I can't tell you specifically what's going on with that situation right now. I don't think I've seen a Pismo clam, cow tip or tip 4-in-1 for at least a week now. But when they start coming in, it is nonstop, and wardens work really hard up there. Yeah,
really.
And we've given a lot of cow tip rewards. We've given a few cow tip rewards that I can think of to you know, the locals up there who want to protect their resource.
Yeah.
So they see some violation, and I think cases have been made where, like, you know, the clams have been hidden in folding chair bags. In umbrellas.
And is it usually
in coolers?
Over limit violations or short limit violations?
Both, undersize and over limits.
Well, the department even reported back out on October 29th of last year that there was a law enforcement seized 178 undersized Pismo clams from four individuals.
Wow.
So that was a case that happened last year that they prosecuted.
And Pismos are, I mean, sometimes when it's on, it's on, and you can get your limit like in minutes, right?
Correct.
So it's easy temptation for people to take over limits. So don't do it.
It's something you got to do a little bit too, because I wanted to go clamming with the boys a while ago when we had a big negative tide a while ago, and it would surprise. Now, granted, it was my fault for, like, you know, oh my God, we got really low tides. I should try to go tomorrow. It is not the easiest thing to find appropriate clam gauge and things, like, because I didn't have any of that. Like, it's not the easiest thing to find. Like, you know, I'm sure it does exist, but, you know, I'm in that business and know a bunch of my buds that all have tackle stores. I called everybody. I couldn't find a clam gauge.
So you have to have a clam gauge like a lobster?
Just like
gauge?
Yeah. You got to be able to measure legal size. Yeah.
Some way to measure your
I mean, they sell it. I mean, I have now. You know what I mean? Like, I, you know, found them, gotcha. Ordered them, bought them, that kind of stuff. But yeah, you gotta have the stuff to do it with
the appropriate equipment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just to report like the important information. So where are the people located? Like what sometimes it's a pier they're next to, or what are they wearing? How many people are in the group? What's their camp set up like? Do they have coolers? Do they have an umbrella? Or, you know, are they going back to a vehicle? If you report all that information and have a warden show up within 20 minutes and contact that group under committing the, you know, under, you know, doing the same activity that you're observing, then that always works out.
That helps.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky angler out there's got themselves that trip on the Mission Bell. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Let's Talk Hookup app, as well as Facebook and YouTube Live.
I believe there is no doubt that the finest sport fishing in the world starts right here in San Diego. This is Captain Frank Lopresti. Our fleet of long-range boats and crew are unmatched, and the Royal Polaris and Shogun are right at the top of the list. Captain Jonathan Yamati and his crew aboard the Royal Polaris are considered to be the finest long-range vessel in the world. From summer bluefin, yellowtail, and wahoo to giant yellowfin tuna, our record is unmatched. The Shogun, under the direction of Captain Rene Montegudo, has become one of the most popular long-range boats in the fleet. This big, wide, solid riding vessel has gained a reputation for catching fish and treating their customers to an epic vacation on the water. I am so proud of Jonathan, Rene, and the crews on both the Royal Polaris and Shogun, as they have helped me keep the reputation of the premier vessels in the long-range fleet. Come see for yourself. Book a trip on the Royal Polaris or Shogun today. Check RoyalPolarisSportFishing.com or ShogunSportFishing.com or call Monica or Jen in the office at 619-226-8030.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaboard Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaboard Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaport, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaport Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaportlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay. For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Fisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodation, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Welcome back
to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winner of a full-day trip on board the Mission Bell. Matt's going to do us the honor, flip that prize coin. Today, we have a texter. Congratulations, John in Ocean Beach. You are going fishing on board the Mission Bell. You are going to love it.
Wow. Matt, thank you for taking the time. Thanks for driving out and informing
our
listeners about CalTip. And if somebody wants to utilize CalTip, give us the best ways to do it.
So call TIP 411 or call the hotline at 888-334-2258. Or
which is 888-334-CALTIP.
Yes. Yeah. And it's the C-A-L-T of CalTip, the last four of that. And then, of course, there's an online app. Go on our website and download, whether you have an Android or iPhone, download the free Tip 41 app, and you can also text or report it online directly through our website.
And then document, right? That's key.
Yeah, so yeah. Who, what, why, where, when, and you know, all the questions
are helpful.
Pictures and videos are absolutely helpful. And my email is on the website, Cal Tip page. You're welcome to send me an email and ask any questions you have.
There you go.
Awesome.
Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate that. And keep up the great work.
Yeah, this is great.
Reporting the poachers. And,
thank you so much.
Please do
me.
Your part out there too, right, Wayne?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for making this happen, Wayne. This is fun.
Absolutely.
Great job. This
Wayne,
really
Wayne
cool.
made it happen.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in. And hey, you made it happen too. Thank you out there for doing such a great job. We appreciate you. And thanks to Adam for all he does on our Let's Talk Hookup app. Hey, tomorrow, watch out. Captain Joel Ralston will be here. He's a commercial fisherman now, but been around for a long time. So
strap in.
We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook, YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.